Good morning, Living Hope. You know what? You did a lot better than first service, and for that, I appreciate you. But I was just in Brazil, and I've got to tell you, I want you to imagine a country filled with Lucas, and you'll sort of understand what I'm saying. So when I say, good morning, Living Hope, can you answer me Brazil style, imagining you are Lucas Cecilio? Good morning, Living Hope. Okay, so that level of energy, yes, sir, that was amazing. That was absolutely amazing. But I need to be yes, ma'am. okay, I'm kidding. But that level of energy is what we just need to have happen in the rest of the day, okay? Do they have a flight to Araçatuba that I can get on so I can preach this message to people who actually want to be at church? Okay, there we go. So Pastor Jess and Brenda are not here. They decided to skip church and head to the beach. Oh, wait, we know that's not true, don't we? Because they are lifelong followers of Jesus. So they took their lifelong following of Jesus all the way to New York. All week, they have been ministering to pastors there at a conference. They literally are meeting with so many pastors that Pastor Jess hasn't even called any of the staff, which never happens. Like, I try to call them and I get a text message back. Sorry, we're in meetings. We started at 8 a.m. in meetings and we are not done till midnight. And I'm like, whoa. And then today they're preaching four times. So right now, can we say, Jesus, will you send Pastor Jess and Brenda your spirit in a profound way? We're asking God the gift they are to us. Can they be that in New York in the mighty name of Jesus? Everywhere I went in Brazil, they'd be like, are you Pastor Jess and Brenda's daughter? And I'm like, yes. And they're like, we love your parents. They're the best people, the best pastors. So can I just tell us, church, we have good pastors. Just so we're clear, I do not work for my parents because they're my parents. I work for my parents because I think they're the best pastors on the planet. And I think this is the best church on the planet. And so this is where I want to be with my people who today are going to act like Brazilians. See, already don't you feel like we're off to a great start? Don't worry. Food that looks like Brazil is coming your way, okay? So we had an incredible time in Brazil. We love it. We were absolutely marked and imprinted by what God did there. But we realized part of the reason we loved Brazil so much is that Brazil's already in our hearts. Jordan and Anna came and served this church for years, and we got to send them back to Brazil. We have a picture of them right here. Oh, don't you miss them? Look at that steak right there. Let's just leave it there for a minute. I have to say this. They throw around the word filet mignon in Brazil like they're saying water. Like every meal you eat, you're like, what kind of meat is this? Filet mignon. What? Then they bring 20 other different cuts of steak and they're like, oh, this specific steak, it's from a cow that's only grown in our city and it's got that hump on the back of its neck, and we take that piece of the neck and we slice it really, really, really thin. We marinate it in an orange marinade and then we made it especially for you. And then they come out with a different type of steak and a different type of steak and a different type of steak and a different type of steak. And I'm like, where am I? God's country. Amen. So Pastor Marcus and I decided at the coffee bar today that maybe the Lord is calling us to start a Living Hope Brazil, and we just keep a continuous train of people from the house going there. It was pretty awesome. We got to meet Letty's parents and her brother and his wife. That was wonderful. I got to meet Pastor Marcus's mom and dad. It was so sweet. She came all the way to a place I was just to give me a present. Amazing. Exactly what you would expect out of Pastor Marcus's mom, huh? No surprises. And then this one's real fun. We got to go to Lucas's church. And yeah, I have a lot of pictures that I will not show because I love him and I love working with him and I want it to stay that way. But this is a little tip I found out about Lucas. In his church, he was called Twister. So my new name for Lucas is Mr. Twister. Yeah, it was really fun. He is very loved in his church. But I have to just say, God knew what he was doing here when he sent us missionaries from Brazil to be part of our church and part of our staff. And so we bless you. I bless you, Pastor Marcus. I bless you, Letty. I bless you, Lucas. I bless the gift of God that's in you. And we're asking that the fire of God that burns in you in a way that it doesn't burn here, we're asking that it would be released and called out in this hour. And you're not here by accident. In fact, this room is not filled with people from the nations by accident. And we're even seeing what God is wanting to do on the earth in this hour requires people from every race, every tongue, and every tribe. And so we say, God, even the fire of God that burns in Brazil, we're asking in this hour, may it burn in Living Hope. Some of you are like, I don't know if I want the fire of God to burn. Yes, you do. You want to know why? Go to hang out at a public school. I don't know if I want the fire of God to burn. Okay, go walk Burnside Bridge. We need a move of God. Our country needs a move of God. Our city needs a move of God. And this is what I realized when I was in Brazil. They're understanding. They're hungry. They're ready. And I had this revelation, God, my country at one time used to send missionaries out all over the globe. And just maybe we missed our moment. And now you're sending missionaries to us, calling the church back to allegiance and devotion. Church, I'm begging us. Let's not be asleep when God wants to be awake in the world. Let's not be asleep when a generation, 60% of them are deciding they're a gender that doesn't even exist. Wake up, church. God wants to move in this hour, and he doesn't want to move on pulpits. He doesn't want to move in worship sets, although that's really awesome. God wants to move where you and I live, and he wants his spirit to encounter people in that place. God wants his spirit to encounter people in schools. God wants a spirit to encounter people in grocery stores. And so we're praying that the fire of God that burns in Brazil would begin to burn in this house like never before. So I know that you guys are dying to know what going to church was like in Brazil. Just so you know, they had no problem staying an hour after worship, after service to worship. Who's in today? Okay, no one. Awesome. Pastor Marcus and Lucas are. Everybody else is like, oh, but there's brunch. Is there going to be that steak there? But Ben and I just wanted to share with you just a little piece. This is not video done by Jalen Fast, so don't judge it. It's done by me. And hey, guess what I found out when I was in Brazil? They all were like, how do you have a 14-year-old son? We thought you were 28. So church, I found out I was 28 when I was in Brazil. So you'd think I'd be better at video than this, but here is what we experienced when we were in Brazil. When Ben and I were there, we kept having this conversation where we said, why does God feel so close here? And he doesn't always feel this close at home. And God, I just invite your presence into this room. We just acknowledge that we don't control and we don't own the world. We don't even own this space. I don't own this platform, God. This belongs to you. And I know there's people in this room, God, who are walking through really heavy and hard things. I know there's people in this room who their situations make them feel like you're far away. And God, we're asking in this moment, would you come close? Would you come near? God, we don't want enthusiasm. We want encounter. We don't want goosebumps. We want your presence. And so we just invite you into this space, Jesus. Through your Holy Spirit, would you come near? It's in your name we pray. Amen. So today we continue with our minor chord series. Last week, Pastor Jess did an incredible job preaching the book of Hosea that talks about what we do when we face disloyalty. And it's such a beautiful picture because not only is there this prophetic metaphor, but in Hosea, there's a man who has an unfaithful wife and he's pursuing her and he's loving her even though she's been disloyal to him. And what a picture of what Jesus does for us. There's moments where we're disloyal. There's moments where we sin. There's moments where we get distracted. And yet Jesus, like Hosea, is calling us back to loyalty and allegiance. And we're just continuing this series. And today we're going to look at the prophet Joel. And we're going to talk about when facing loss. Anybody in here ever lost something? Yeah, probably all of us. If you live life, you're going to lose things. And it's beautiful that Jesus gives us an entire book that speaks to those moments. And I sense, and maybe you sense this too, it's very interesting. This service doesn't seem like last service even a little bit, but there is an incredible presence of the Holy Spirit in here this morning to bring comfort, to bring consolation. And I even want to speak prophetically. I think there's a restoration in this room. Some of you, God wants to repay what the enemy has stolen from your lives, even years that have been taken. There's a repayment in the room. And so Joel's an interesting prophet. The Bible doesn't tell us really anything about Joel. We know his name. We're not even really sure when he prophesied. Theologians believe that it could have been around the 8th century BC when the Assyrian army is invading Israel. That's one option. Another option is the late 7th century when the Babylonians come to Judah and take Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, all of them into captivity. That's another option. But really, it's unclear. We don't know anything about the prophet Joel, but what we know is that there's this locust swarm that is being prophesied. And the first two chapters of Joel are telling us all about this locust swarm. For them in this time period, it would have been like living in the Gulf Coast region when you're hit with constant hurricanes. In this area, you'd be hit with these constant locust swarms. And they would move in about a 400 square mile area. Isn't that crazy? Anybody getting Jurassic World vibes? I was going to play the video, but then I remember not everybody believes in dinosaurs and it's complicated. And then I just said dinosaur. And so you're shouting Mark Driscoll her, you know, it's complicated. The 10 people in here who got that was solid gold. Solid gold. Thank you, Pastor Dave, for laughing. And there's 100 million insects moving over this area. And as they move, they eat their body weight a day. Just imagine this devastation and this loss. And so the first two chapters of Joel, that's what he's saying. He's saying from a drone-like perspective, he's saying there has been a locust swarm that has eaten, that has destroyed the children of Judah. And then he hinges it. Verse 18 of chapter 2. And he's going to shift from destruction and mayhem and loss to restoration. And I even believe today we're in a prophetic hinge, if you were. And it's like there's a doorway, and some of you have been living in chapters 1 and 2 of the book of Joel. Your life has been destruction. Your life has been loss. Your life has been locust eating and devouring what are the promises of God for your life. And you're even sitting here and you're like, I haven't just had a bad season. I've had a bad life. I'm that person who gets bad break after bad break after bad break. I am here to tell you prophetically that in this hour, God is wanting you to step through the doorway. And even today, there is a spirit and there is a grace for restoration in the room, and God wants to speak. Yahweh wants to respond to the loss of your life, and he wants to declare some new truths. So if you would turn with me to Joel chapter 2, verse 18. And he says this, "Then the Lord became jealous for his land, and he spared his people. The Lord answered his people, and he said this, 'Look, I am about to send you grain, new wine, and fresh oil.'" Anybody else, when you get a prophetic word, you want the moon? I want private jets. I want the nations. I want promotion. I want abundance. I want you prophesying that there are three checks coming in the mail with a lot of zeros. Can I get an amen? Any Brazilians in the house for that? And here's Joel. And instead of saying, "Here comes pirate chests with gold doubloons," says, "Grain, oil, new wine." You know what that sounds like to me? What I eat every day in a very different way. See, Joel is saying, hey, God is gonna come and he's gonna restore and he's gonna send supply. But just like God sends supply, he's not giving you overabundance. He's giving you what you need for today. God always reveals himself by giving us exactly what we need for today. What do you mean? In the wilderness, they're wandering, they're hungry. What does God provide? Manna. But what does he say about the manna? Take only what you need for the day, except for on Sabbath, you get double. When he teaches his disciples to pray, what does he say? Give me what I need for the next year. Give me what I need for my lifetime. No. Give me today my daily bread. Can I just speak to us right now? We might miss God's supply because we're seeking treasure instead of provision. We might miss God's supply because we're seeking abundance instead of the essentials. See, God is sending us the very supply we need for today, and we often miss it because we're looking for tomorrow's provision. There's this prophet named Elijah, and he takes on the prophets of Baal. 400 prophets of Baal. And he has this amazing church service where he literally calls down fire from heaven. And guess what? Fire from heaven falls. And then it's so powerful that he turns to all the people and he's like, "Kill the prophets of Baal." And they do. Imagine that. Well, Bible's violent. And then Ahab and Jezebel, the king and queen, they're so upset that this has happened, they start hunting him down to take his life. And Elijah runs into the wilderness, and there he is in the wilderness, and he says, "Hey, God, you've abandoned me. You've forsaken me. It'd be better for you to take my life." And in that space, an angel comes to Elijah and provides a meal, just what he needed for that day. And he says these words, "Get up and eat." Can I prophesy to somebody in here who's depressed? Can I prophesy to somebody in here who's anxious? Can I prophesy to somebody in here who's experienced season after season, year after year of loss? Get up and eat. Wake up every morning and seek the presence of Jesus. Wake up every morning and say, "God, it feels like you've forsaken me. It feels like I'm the only one. But God, would you feed me from your word?" Can I make you this promise? When you get up and eat what he provides, he will show up every time. So many of us are waiting for a Sunday morning prophetic word, when what we're really supposed to be doing is getting up out of bed in the morning and saying, "Jesus, I don't want treasure. I want the treasure. I want the only one who can speak the words that give me hope, that give me life." This is the prophetic word to the church in this hour. Get up and eat. We got to stop chasing counselors. Is counseling bad? No, I advocate for it. I'm for it. But go to counseling and also get up in the morning and spend time with Jesus. get up and eat. He wants to feed us from his supply. Goes on and it says this, verse 25. I will repay you for the years that the swarming locust, that the young locust, that the destroying locust, come on somebody, this is wild stuff, that the devouring locust, my great army that I sent amongst you, you will have plenty to eat and be satisfied. You will praise the name of the Lord your God who has dealt wondrously with you. My people will never again be put to shame. You will know that I am present in the land of Israel and that I am the Lord your God and there is no other. My people will not be put to shame again. And I want us to see this. I will repay the day, the week, the month, the year, how many years? How many? This isn't a season. This isn't a bad day. These are people who have been under oppression. These are people who've been under devastation and loss. And I just believe here today, there are some of you in here who have been in a lifetime of loss. And I am here to tell you today that God is sending supply to your life. God is sending restoration to your life, but he is sending satisfaction. It's like you're the Rolling Stone song. I can't get no da-na-na satisfaction, da-na-na. Okay, no, okay. Do you know that the Bible tells us he satisfies us with good things? My goodness, I only know one word for locust. Please don't raise your hand and give me the Latin word. I don't care. I study Greek. Here he is, four words for locusts. And then he gives them all a different word to describe the kind of locust it is, devouring, swarming. Man, God sees you right where you are. He knows your story. It's not fair that you were abused. It's not fair that your dad left. It's not fair you lost that job. It's not fair that your marriage ended that way. It's not fair. You're right, it's not fair, but can I tell you, I serve a God who restores, and even when it doesn't seem like it, he can make up the years. And I just believe even in this hour, there's a making up of the years and there's satisfaction for his church, for his kids. I was just in Brazil, and I think I'm going to say that as long as I possibly can until I can't say it again, and then I'm going to go back to Brazil. But I got to experience something that I just wanted to share with you. Okay, let's just praise the Lord as we look at the... Wow. Oh, my goodness. I just got saved. Did anybody else get saved? Yes, that is chocolate pizza. Yeah. And that is banana pizza. And yeah, there is cheese under that. And yes, Pastor Marcus says that he loves Ben and I and that we're his friends. And Lucas and Laura say the same thing. And Letty says the same thing. But do you know, I have never once been to their house for this pizza. You know what else? Neither have you. We will be striking after service with signs that say, feed us pizza. We ate so much food in Brazil, and actually they're insulted. Like when the guys bring you the 20 types of steak, if you don't take a bite of the steak, they're like, what's wrong with you? And you're like, wait, we're supposed to keep eating this? We had dessert every meal that beautiful women made for us, and there were pies, and there, our favorite thing was this apricot cheese pie thing that was their tea time at 5 because Brazilians eat 4 meals, not 3. That's the key to beauty. I figured it out. You want to be beautiful, it's 4 meals a day, and your last meal should be at midnight, and then you'll be skinny and beautiful. Since we've been home though, all food is disgusting to both of us. Like if you put a cake in front of me, I'd be like, gross. Why? Because I ate chocolate pizza. If you put anything that's not steak in front of me, that's like a $200 steak, move on. Why? Because I tasted the real thing. Can I tell you there is no satisfaction in life apart from the person of Jesus Christ? Can I tell you that once you experience Jesus, once you encounter his spirit, everything else is counterfeit. Get up and eat. Well, I don't always feel him in devotions. Get up and eat. I don't know how to read the Bible. Get up and eat. I don't know where to start. We read the Bible every day. Start there. And find literally anyone in the church and they will talk to you about it. Church, we gotta get up and eat. There's a daily supply. He's sending the supply, but he also wants to send the satisfaction. Okay, now this is where it gets fun. Anybody love Joel 2? The correct answer if you're in a charismatic church is, heck yeah. Even Pastor Dave just said, heck yeah. He doesn't even use that word. Pastor Dave is like, please, I want to take the altar call for speaking in tongues. He's like, oh. Man, the jokes that nobody's getting today, Pastor Dave, they're so on point, but you and I are having a great time. It says this, verse 28. After this, I will pour out my spirit on all humanity. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. And I will even pour out my spirit on the male and female slaves in those days. I will display wonders. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. He sends supply. He sends satisfaction. And he sends his spirit. See, something really amazing is gonna happen with this no name, kind of unknown prophet, Joel. His book is gonna be used in the very first church service. See, the disciples, they're grieving at the tomb of Jesus. Their Savior has been crucified. They think it's the end. And then Easter morning, Jesus walks right out of that tomb and he's alive. Imagine though, let's for a moment, imagine the person you love most in the world died. And then you experience the loss of their death and then they come back to life. Talk about needing a counselor. There's a lot there. And then Jesus hangs out with them for several weeks. And while he's hanging out with them, he says, hey guys, I just want you to know, I'm gonna leave, but don't worry. Who I'm sending afterwards, you're gonna like him even better than me. Anybody else be like, yeah, no, I'm out. And so Jesus does. He ascends to the right hand of the Father and he leaves them. And they're like, hey, Jesus, where is this person? Where's this entity that you said was gonna come and be among us? And the Bible says that it was early in the morning and they were gathered in an upper room, all these people who had just lost Jesus. Again, for the second time, trauma. And while they're there, they're waiting on the Lord. Do you see what the early church is modeling for us? When you are in loss, get up and eat. You're in a hard time, don't you dare skip out on church. But people might know I'm hurting. Yeah, they might, but get up and eat. Because it's when we're in spaces where we've experienced the loss and we're broken and we begin to wait on the Lord that the Spirit of God begins to show up and do what only the Spirit of God can do. Don't miss out on the restoration God wants to bring your life because depression and anxiety want to keep you trapped and in bondage. Get up and eat. And there they are waiting on the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says that there's this sound, like the sound of a mighty rushing wind. And then there's flames of fire on the tops of their heads. Anybody remember that? Fire on the top of everyone's head. Fire on the top of everyone's head. Pastor Eric Butler said that. He sang that. And then they begin to speak in this unknown language. Let's just all agree, even if we're all tongue talkers, which I am, speaking in tongues be kind of crazy. Okay, again, don't Mark Driscoll me. But when we were in Brazil, there were ladies who did this like Zulu war cry, kind of speaking in tongues. It was amazing. I was scared. I was like, the enemy ain't gonna be in the room with that. And people who aren't in the upper room, they hear them, they see them, and they're like, dude, are those people who call themselves Christians drunk? And Peter gets up and he gives the first sermon joke. It's 9 a.m. Who's drunk at 9 a.m.? And then he starts quoting Joel 2. And he says, in the last days, I'm going to pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons, your daughters, your old people, your servants, they're all going to prophesy. And I want us to see this. This is so critical. When Jesus walked the earth, he was full of the Holy Spirit. He actually opened the scroll. And what does he say? He says, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to preach good news and liberty. See, Jesus walked as the first person filled with the Holy Spirit. He experienced his whole life full of the Holy Spirit. So he could actually say, hey, one who is better, an advocate, a counselor, a Holy Spirit is going to come and he's going to walk with you and he's going to help you. Stay true to the Father and obey the Father, and he's going to keep you in step with me. And this is how I know it. I'm the original. And because the Spirit of God is on the one, the Spirit of God gets to be on the all. All ages, all races, all like different economic situations, male and female, the Spirit of God is on. See, in the Old Testament, the Spirit of God would fall on a prophet like Moses, like Joshua, like Elisha, like Elijah, like Miriam, like Deborah, and they would be anointed and they'd be the chosen one. And that's pretty cool. But now Peter's saying, hey, Jesus came and he was the last Old Testament prophet and he's the first New Testament prophet, and things are about to shift because the Spirit of God is on Jesus and because all are in the one. Now it's not just Joshua and Moses walking on the planet. Come on, somebody. It's the all. See, the Spirit's falling on the all. When you read the book of Acts, you know what you should be taken with? All in common, all together. See, God is sending his Spirit in this hour because he's actually really tired of platforms and stages. I love the prophetic gifts. I love prophets, but can I tell you to point to your neighbor right now and say, you're a prophet? Look at this. He's not saying that old people dream dreams. He's not saying young people have visions. He's not saying the servants prophesy. The thought here is that a prophetic revelation is coming out from the Holy Spirit of God, and that prophetic revelation is on all people. people who are in the upper room waiting on the Spirit of God, waiting for the Spirit to descend. And those people, they dream. Those people have visions. Those people prophesy. Those people are filled with the Spirit of God. They're like Jesus saying, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to bring good news. And they walk into that hospital, Molly Coolman, and they say, hey, you might not know it, but a prophet is among you. They walk into the fire station, Ben Tanner. They walk into the school, Monique Ely and Matt Ely. They walk into Intel. They walk into Nike. And they say, hey, y'all, you might not know it, but I am full of the Holy Spirit of God. I am a prophet. I have been sent here on assignment. I am burning with a word from God. And you don't even know what hit you, but when I lay hands on you, you're gonna be healed. When we have a conversation, Lily Lewis, demons are gonna lift off of people's minds. Can I tell you, church? You're prophets. Can I give you your prophetic word? Get up and eat so you have something to say. You want to prophesy? You want to have something to say? You got to get in the word. He sends the supply. He sends the satisfaction. And he sends a spirit. Anybody else grew up in 1990s church? We have counseling available for free at other churches. No, I'm just kidding. I was thinking about this. When I was 18 years old, I did a program in our church at the time. It was called Master's Commission. It was for people who felt a call of God on their life to ministry. Joel and Tina Coolman actually did it. Kip and Shara's daughter did it. Ben did it after me. He's a little bit younger. Don't judge. 2 1/3 year, to be exact. I claim his age, not mine, in Jesus' name. Well, wait, I'm 28 years old. It's fine. But everybody else was picking really sweet scriptures like Psalm 103. And at the time, I was very charismatic. Now you can tell by the skirt, I'm in my Pentecostal phase. So I picked Joel. I'm like, I'm gonna memorize the book of Joel. And I memorized Joel chapter 2. And they decided, because it was the 90s, that they were gonna get a whole bunch of teenagers and young adults to wear camo. Like I said, counseling later. We even like painted our faces with paint. And we all got in this like V formation on the stage. And I started to prophesy Joel 2. And I actually remember really clearly. Something happened as I started to recite, blow the trumpet in Zion, sound the alarm in my holy mountain. A company comes, great and strong, that you have not seen the likes of. And I was still new to understanding when the spirit of prophecy was in the room, but now I actually understand really clearly that I was an 18-year-old discerning the prophetic company that God wanted to raise up. And in my 18-year-oldness, I thought it was just young people. But now in the space and life I'm in, I see it so clearly. A church. Not just Living Hope, a big C church filled with the Holy Spirit of God in this hour, rising up out of spaces like this and being sent into their community full of the Spirit of God as prophets. And there I was. an 18-year-old girl prophesying something I did not fully understand. And then behind me, young people started doing this stomp thing. We are the army of the mighty Jehovah. We're here to tell you how he brought us over, how he called us out. And I just remember in that season, there was just this profound move of God. Todd Everett was our youth pastor, man. God, thank you for Todd. Thank you for Julie, that they've burned with the fire for your spirit all these years. And I just remember there would be services where for hours, young people would cry out for the presence of God. And then things happened. And that move of God that was actually happening all over the country, it just stopped. And I keep thinking, Pastor Eric Butler said when he was here, he said that there's a generation on this earth that has never seen a move of God. And I can't help but think, maybe the move of God God wants to do in this hour doesn't happen here, but it happens out there. It starts here and it goes there. Some of you, season, year after year after year after year of loss. And I just see it so clearly. There's a doorway. And there's a walking through to the other side this morning, if you want it. Church, it's time to get up and eat. Wait on the Holy Spirit of God and be sent. Outpouring. This concept is like liquid being poured out. Will you stand to your feet? Will you close your eyes? If you feel comfortable, will you just lift your hands? There's a weightiness of the presence of God in this room that we don't even fully understand. But I'm looking at some of you. You're under heavy things. The loss has been unbearable. I just believe here in this space, here in this room, the invitation from the Spirit today is get up and eat and feast on his presence. He's giving us his Holy Spirit. So right now, God, we just say, would you send your Holy Spirit? We know your Holy Spirit's already here, but we get lost in our lostness. We miss your Holy Spirit. We miss his movement. We miss his activity, even in our lives. And so, Holy Spirit of God, I'm asking in this place today that you would send your Spirit in a fresh way, that there would be a fresh outpouring of your Spirit. Holy Spirit of God, we're asking, even as the water was poured into the bowl, we're asking that there would be a flood of your Spirit on hearts, hearts that are weary, hearts that are broken, hearts that need your comfort, minds that are broken, minds that are anxious and depressed. There would be an outpouring of your Spirit here today. God, we don't want enthusiasm, but we're desperate for encounter. And we just realize, God, the next generation depends on your church, waiting on you, getting up in the morning, eating, and being sent into our world as prophets. And so right now, Jesus, we just say, send your Spirit. Send your spirit. Send your spirit. And I want to do something. You don't have to feel pressure to do this, but there is a grace in this room for a fresh outpouring. And it doesn't mean anything about where you've been or not been, but if you're just in this room and you're in this space with me where you're like, God, I need a fresh outpouring of your Holy Spirit in my life, I want to invite you right now. Let's come, let's fill the altar and say, God, right where I am, I need a fresh outpouring. Right where I am, I need a fresh start. What I've been doing, God, hasn't been working. Jesus, we're asking right now, God. We're asking, God, for people who've experienced loss. We're asking for people who've experienced disappointment. God, we're asking, let your spirit fall here today. We're asking for people whose bodies are sick. We're asking for people whose hearts are broken. We're asking for people who don't know the way forward. And we're saying, Jesus, would you pour out your spirit on all flesh? Would you pour out your spirit on us in a fresh way, God? We need a fresh outpouring of your spirit, God. We need a fresh outpouring of who you are, God. We need you to come to hearts that are broken. We need you to come to minds that are weary. We need you to come. Oh, we need a fresh outpouring of your spirit, God. So right now, we're just going to go into this song that literally talks about the dove of heaven resting on us. And as we do, I just want you, if you're up at the front, just begin to call on the name of the Lord. Begin to worship. And if you're in the audience and you're like, I want to join too. But in this house, church, God is giving the supply, the satisfaction, because he wants to send his spirit and then he wants to send us out. Let's worship.